This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and Truth.
The man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com or calling us on the Q line.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Unashamed of the gospel and standing on the truth of God in his holy word, the Bible. Good Thursday morning, David Fiorazzo and Mike LeMay. Welcome to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. You're going to hear the word of God quoted, and you can count on that as eternal truth. You're also going to hear our opinions on things, and we just encourage you to take those to the word of God as the Bereans did. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the saving grace by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we wear the moniker of Christian in a way that glorifies you and shows the world your love, your faithfulness, your grace, and your mercy, and your truth. So we thank you for this day, and we praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Title of today's show, Ridiculing, Censoring, and Killing Christians. You know, Jesus warned us that the day was coming when the world would hate his followers. We'd be mocked, betrayed by our own families, and even killed for our belief in Jesus. Now, here in America, we are in the ridicule and censor phase, if you will. We have brothers and sisters in the Middle East around the world going through much worse. Well, we're joined this morning by Pastor Jaleel Dawood, and he has a lot of experience in ministering to Christians in the Middle East, and he's here to share his testimony and the amazing work God is doing through him and his ministry. Jaleel, welcome to Stand Up for the Truth.
Thank you for having me, David and Mike. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, brother. Jaleel, take a few minutes and just share your testimony with us, the amazing things God has done in your life.
Well, I'm a third generation refugee. My grandparents in 1915 fled Turkey into Iraq, and my parents were born in Iraq, and then I came here as well. So, due to persecution of Christians, we have fled. I grew up in a nominal Christian home, a Catholic home in Baghdad. But I had to flee due to the war between Iraq and Iran. And you know, there you're treated as a second-class citizen by the society. And I went to Rome, Italy. And in Rome, Italy, the Lord was gracious to me that I got to meet an American missionary who shared the gospel with me and accepted the Lord in Rome, Italy in 1982. And I made it to America and started a new life here as a refugee and able to study and work by the grace of God till I was able to finish Dallas Seminary about 9 years ago. And I've been serving among refugees here through World Refugee Care and also as a pastor of the Arabic Church for the last 9 years.
So, Jaleel, you're now pastor of the Arabic Church of Dallas, and with the heightened awareness of terrorism in America and what we're seeing happening around the world, are your church members facing any additional scrutiny from the general public in your area?
So far, we have not, but I think what people are telling me through the congregation, and that is they feel like they are not getting the opportunity to live a normal life because people are afraid to counter Middle Eastern and kind of close up the door for them to get, you know, promoted or hired or helped or something into that effect. But as far as the security goes, we are aware that we can be a target. We also watch out and we try to be careful in our activities. You know, the Muslim, God bless them, they are very active in reaching out to their community. I even have some of them coming to my door, invited me to go to the mosque. And I wish that is so with our people, also inviting people to the church. And those people were not like regular Muslim. They were Wahhabi. They were dressed in a, you know, long robes, beard, no mustache. And this is in America happening. And imagine if even a nominal Muslim being visited by these people, they will be intimidated and they would have to oblige and go to the mosque and, you know, go into Islam, deeper into that religion.
Jaleel, interesting. So you've been invited to the mosque. What are your thoughts of Christians saying to a Muslim, why don't you come to my church and learn what we believe about Jesus?
that'll be a fantastic thing. If not, at least go reach out to them, tell them who Christ is, know about their religion, to share and to intelligent conversation with them, to have a to talk to them about their faith and what does our faith say. And you know, the idea is their faith is a calculation faith. It's if you do more good than bad, you will be saved. And the idea is for us to promote that God is holy and perfect and you need to be redeemed, and only through the blood of Christ there is redemption. And it's a very beautiful message and unique, and it's fitting to the idea that God is holy and will not accept anybody into his kingdom unless holy and perfect, and none of us are, and we need that salvation of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Jaleel, we understand the American media is probably censoring a lot of what's actually happening, a lot of the truth about Christian persecution worldwide. But we understand, most of us do, that persecution is getting worse in the Middle East. Could you share some of the work that God has you doing to help Christians being persecuted there?
We are trying to reach out to the people who are hurting. With the little resources that I have as an organization, with World Refugees Care, we try to, you know, sponsor people, stand by them, and making sure that they reach safety. You know, the Middle East right now is getting emptied out of Christian in Iraq and Syria right now. And Lebanon has been going on for the last 30 years as well, with the civil war and more. The idea is in 2014, 250,000 Iraqi Christians fled their homes and lost their belonging, and some of them lost their lives, and some of them lost their children, their women. And it seems like people are not aware, or if they are, it's like another thing somewhere else. And in, you know, in 2014, we had a rally here in Dallas about it. And we were trying to make the people aware that this is not an Iraqi issue per se or Middle Eastern issue, but it is a worldwide issue. And now it is a worldwide issue, as we saw in France and we saw here in America. So we need to go and stand by these people, help these people as churches, as individuals. You know, we need to write to our government representative. We need to support organizations that promote helping those people.
Yes.
We just have to, you know, there are so many angles we can look at it, but, you know, but in Galatians like 6:10, it says, we have an opportunity let us do good to all people, especially for those who belong to the family of believers. And mm-hmm. These people, you know, I've met these people there, you know, they're hurting, they're suffering, they're waiting, you know, 2-3 years in Jordan, Lebanon, used to be Syria also, now no more, and Turkey, to reach somewhere into the West. And, you know, they think they're nobody care about them. And when we go there, we give them a little bit of what we have and share the gospel. People are in tears. People are coming forward and accepting the Lord and honoring him by saying, you know, this I didn't know. I want to know that now. So this is our work with the our believers, nominal Christians from Iraq. And, you know, there is a physical need and there is a spiritual need. And this is what we try to help them with both.
Yeah, and we are called to help people with both. You know, Jaleel, I think there's a bit of American arrogance in this whole formula. I mean, our nation's 250 years old. We look at ourselves as God's gift to Christianity. We forget that Christianity was birthed in Israel, Syria, Iraq. We've had Coptic Christians there for 2,000 years. And I think we in America sometimes bundle the whole Middle East as a whole bunch of Muslims. And that's just not the truth, is it?
That's absolutely right. That's not the truth. And, you know, the apostles are Middle Easterns. Middle Easterns, like Apostle Paul, he's a Middle Eastern. And he took the gospel to Europe, and Europe brought it to America. It's, you know, when Middle Eastern brought the gospel to the West, now the West need to do its part of protecting that message and protecting those people who brought them this wonderful message and of salvation, of eternal life. So it's a high time now that we do something toward them, because if it wasn't for them and if it wasn't for their sacrifices in the first century, we would not be saved today. And because these people stood their ground, you know, and took the punishment and took death, and, you know, they stood and they delivered the message to us. So now what is our message to them? Are we going to say, you know, well, good luck, God bless you, be well,
yeah,
you know, and go back to our own duty? So we have a duty here to reciprocate in a different way. They gave us the good news. We have to go and speak for them, for those who cannot speak for themselves, and help them and stand by them and love them and make sure they get to safety before something catastrophic happened to their life. They've already gone through a lot, and we can help them hold that suffering from them. But suffering also leads to Christ, and Christ can use that for salvation. So, and he himself, he said, if you want to follow me, you carry the cross. And they understand that, but we have to do our part, and our part need to be loving them, caring for them, helping them, standing by them, you know, in a meaningful way.
Our guest this morning is Pastor Jaleel Dawood. The organization is worldrefugeescare.org. Jaleel, you're familiar with the Quran, and I'd like to ask you this question. People, what we hear in the media, what we hear when we talk to people about Islam, seems to be two polarized views. The first one is, well, Islam's a religion of peace. On the other side of the spectrum is, every Muslim's a terrorist just waiting to kill Christians and Jews. Give us a correct perspective on this, again, these polarizing views.
Okay, Islam have many segments. And in the time of peace, you know, Islam, in the time of weakness, Islam is a peaceful religion, promote tolerance for the most case. But when Islam dominate, when you become a minority, you will be persecuted. There is no two ways about it. That's how it goes. Because even in the life of their prophet, that's who he was. When he was weak, he went to another city. He went from Mecca to Al-Medina. And he formed alliances there and strengthened himself. When he became strong, then he said, these people are subject to death. And so, you know, we need to understand their faith. Their faith is, does not believe who Christ is, the Messiah, is the Son of God. They believe he's a human. They do not believe in the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They believe that's a blasphemy. We are, you know, multiplying God. And they do not believe in the cross, that Christ died on the cross. So there is fundamental differences between our faith and theirs. And that is in the person of Christ and who God is and the redemption work of Christ. And these are fundamental differences. And if their God is God, then killing shouldn't be. Because if God is God, we need to let him be who he is. And he will be an avenger. He will be taking care of things. But because their inferiority, so we go and kill, because that's the only way people are to be afraid and people to submit due to fear. And that shouldn't be in our side. Our side should not be fear. Our side should be loving them, caring about them, delivering the message of the gospel to them. And in that way, they know. And here, the faith is getting weaker and weaker. And America has distanced itself from the principles of the Lord Jesus, and it's losing its grip on what is the truth and tolerance the wrong way, and it's losing its traction of, you know, people seeing Christ through us, people coming to Christ through us. And those people who are coming here, they're not coming to our community, they're not coming to our faith, but unfortunately they're forming their own communities, and they're standing with their faith and converting America to that faith. And again, if we do not win them, they will win the nation. And that cannot be, because I fled Iraq so I don't have to deal with it in America. And after 3 years, I'm dealing with it in America.
Mm.
When the Israelites left Egypt, the Lord told them, you will not see these people again. But we are seeing these people again, and God bring them before us. So what is our reaction? Need to be some sort of concerted effort by the churches to train itself and to go and love these people, witness to these people, share the gospel. And this is our golden opportunity to win them to Christ because they are with us here.
Jaleel, there's such a disconnect here in America with what's happening over in Middle East and what may be coming to our shores. In fact, some believe it's already here and spread across the country. But you were recently interviewed in the Christian Post, and you offered 5 suggestions for how the church in America can help persecuted Christians in the Middle East. And I want to ask you about the first one. You said the first one is to write our government representatives and urge them to take more aggressive action against ISIS. But how can we better communicate that when many of them don't believe ISIS is a threat, or there seems to be this disconnect in our government as far as stepping in and intervening? Can you help explain that?
Well, I say that when there was, at the beginning in 2014, there was, you know, America did not define them as an enemy, and they still don't. And that's the problem, you know, it's when you don't define that's an enemy, then, you know, like Franklin Graham says, well, if they're not an enemy, then they need to come here. If they are an enemy, we can't bring the Germans to America and Japanese to America during World War II. So I would agree with that assessment that if we, at that time, America and the president says he doesn't have a strategy toward them. And it seems like there is no strategy toward them still now, not clear. I mean, if it's an enemy, you go and destroy him and kill him and get rid of him. And if it's not, you let him be. You know, all this refugee crisis should have not started if we would have taken the right action. Those millions of people would have not fled, you know, if we didn't withdraw all the troops out of Iraq and let the mess continue in Syria, and those millions of people start fleeing and you know, want to go to the West, and we are unable to distinguish who's truth and who's a liar and deceiver and a Trojan horse. So we need to write, and we need to make people aware this is an enemy, and an enemy is there, but not everyone is an enemy. So we need to maybe perhaps halt the Muslims coming for a while till this situation settles, if it's ever going to be settled. If not, we need to define what we need, who need to come here and who's not, and on what basis. So it became more complicated now because since 2014, believe it or not, because our lack of action toward them. And you know, the government of the United States did not take action, and this is snowballing to something bigger and something that is uncontrollable. And, you know, I'm praying for America that America stand this, because there is, like President Ronald Reagan said, this is the last stop, and there is nowhere else to go, and this is it. So we need to hold our ground. We need to pray for this nation. We need to pray for those people who are persecuted. We need to bring the right people in. We need to share the salvation of the Lord. So that's my first suggestion, is to go about with the representative, those people who represent you. And who are you? Are you going to do nothing, or are you going to take some sort of action toward the situation?
Well said. A time where we need God's wisdom. When we come back, more with Pastor Jaleel Dawood.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupwiththetruth.com. You can also call your questions in on the Q lines, 494-9010 in Green Bay, or 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Stand Up For The Truth will continue in a moment on Q90 FM. This is Stand Up For The Truth. Call in your questions now at 494-9010 in Green Bay or 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Now back to Mike LeMay.
Our final segment with Pastor Jaleel DeWood, a man who knows Islam, who's committed to Christ, and is on the ground, hands-on, trying to help Christian refugees. Ron, good morning. What's your question for Pastor Jaleel?
Good morning, Mike and David. Jaleel, it's I've been looking forward to hearing from you and your connection with Elijah Abraham. And just wondering what countries you have been to, what do you do as far as physical needs for the people there, refugee camps and such. Do you also evangelize as you're there? And with all the things happening in the world, the second part of my question would be, living in Texas, no less, do you find Arabic Christians are just by being ethnic nature suspect? So I hope you grabbed all that.
I think we got it, Ron. Thank you.
I hope so, too. But, okay, I've been to Turkey, Jordan, Lebanon, and to Iraq, my homeland, and to Israel as well. So I am from the Middle East. I am a refugee myself, and I've been to these nations. As far as helping those people, you know, what I see is a lot of organization putting money toward everybody without any distinction, without any sorting who they are helping. And they're just helping a bunch of people, which is wonderful. But the thing I want to do as an organization is help specific people, specific family. Maybe we can sponsor, you know, 100 family, 200 family, whatever, and then we make sure they make it to safety. You know, what comes to mind is Schindler's List, the movie, how he, Oscar Schindler, helped 1,000 Jews, and those 1,000 multiplied 20 years ago to 10,000, and by now probably around 40,000 people. By saving them, by protecting them, and by helping them. So this is what we do as an organization. And I do share the gospel because the Lord Jesus in Luke 4, he didn't say, I proclaim the good news and stop, but also he said, I will free those who are, you know, and chained, and those who I'll heal the blind. So we have a physical need that we need to fulfill beside the spiritual need, and because these people are in need of that. And I do follow up with few families due to the resources limitation. As far as a Christian here, people can't tell in America a lot of time between, they think, like you said in the beginning segment of the program, you said people think everybody there is a Muslim, but that's where Christianity is there, came there. Iraqis through the Nestorian went all the way to China, and in China you can find some manuscripts in Aramaic, and you know, and so it's, people are not aware of a lot of going on, and people are just doing their thing, and God bless everybody. I mean, there's need to do a lot of things, but this is a hot topic, and this is the need that we're looking at, and this is who we are.
You know, the sickness that we have as American Christians, and I am one of the sickest, is if it doesn't affect me in my wallet, it is of no matter, and shame on us for feeling that way. Jaleel, I admit I've been frustrated up here in Northeast Wisconsin. We've had Elijah Abraham up 4 or 5 times now, but we can only get a very small handful of churches to even bother to send pastors or people to hear him speak about the truth of Islam and Christianity. Assuming some of those pastors are listening now, and I know they are, what would you say to them about the importance of sitting down with someone like yourself and Elijah, having a better understanding of Islam and a big picture view of this thing?
I think it's pivotal. I mean, the Lord Jesus in John 16:2, he said there will be a time when people, you know, kill you thinking doing the will of God. And that is, that time was around them at that time when the Romans did kill them, and thinking that this is the right thing, and the Jews who were against them also persecuted them and killed them, thinking that this is the will of God. But today, in the modern day, if you want to apply that, we have that too, where Christians are being persecuted and killed for their faith just because they are the name of Christ is upon them. So, you know, I mean, you can hide, you can ignore, you can say, this is not my thing, yeah, we'll catch up to you. We'll catch up to you. And, you know, as I said, 2014, I said it, if you read my article, I said this is not a Middle Eastern issue. This is an American issue as well. And, you know, and it became an American issue. So we are saying also today to the believers, this is not a faraway issue. This is an issue that touch you. And, you know, you need to be active and you need to seek to reach out, to know and love and serve in this direction as many as any other directions. It needs to be part of your life. You need to be aware of the historical event that happening. You need to be aware of the political things that are happening around us for the sake of serving the community the right way and preparing the community the right way that you serve. And it's like a good father who teaches his kids what is right, what is wrong, what to do, what not to do. We need to do that with the church as well.
Isn't it true that maybe human nature just causes us to be more comfortable or not understand a threat until it's right in front of us?
And it will be too late.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems today. So how can we encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ to really, really wake up and how can we raise awareness about what's happening because we are so comfortable here in America?
Well, I mean, you're doing it by talking to me and by talking to Elijah and talking to others. And we have to, each one does build the wall from his own end. Each family does build that wall for the Lord from its own end till it's complete. And we need to build that wall to protect America, to protect the church, to protect our families. And maybe in this generation, to the pastor, this is not my issue, but his son, his grandchildren will be impacted by this more and more. But it is coming, and it is coming fast, and it is coming rapidly. Our faith is a faith of peace, and if there is a historical event happen in the calendar that people didn't act upon it, they had no foundation in the Bible. And that is not so with the people we're dealing with. Their calendar says you need the person opposite you. If he opposes you, when you rule, you will eliminate them. So we need to be aware of that, and we need to counter that by loving and serving the community, by reaching out to the hurting ones and saving people the right way. And you know, just not playing church. I know it's overused word, but being the church by reaching out, by sharing the salvation, by, you know, protecting America the right way with our representatives.
Hey, Jaleel, I have a theory I would like to throw at you, and if I'm all wet, you feel free to tell me I'm all wet. I believe ISIS, Al-Qaeda, some of these terrorist organizations could hit us anytime they want. I believe they have cells here in the nation. I believe the only reason we haven't seen a mass of radical Muslim terrorist attacks is that the trend is moving in favor of Islam in this nation. So, again, they're seeing their numbers grow. They're seeing favorability grow with the American people and politicians, so they're withholding some things they could do against us. Am I totally off base there, or is there some grain of truth in there?
There is a lot of truth in there. You know, jihad, which is mean the good fight, has a three segment. It's a social segment, political segment, and military segment to it. You can fight by knowledge, you can fight through the school district, you can fight through Congress, you can fight through education, and then you have also military segments. So far, we haven't reached to the military segment of it fully, but it's developing, and it is there. And, you know, people concerned about refugees coming here, well, need not to be concerned. They're already here. And it just, if they come, maybe they will come more. But it's already here. And so what are we going to do about the one already here? And that's the challenge to us as a community of believers, what we're doing about it. And they are here, and they are dangerous, and they are armed, but they haven't been oppressed to the point that they will take military action. And they haven't gained any ground to do any military action like the one in Europe and the one in the Middle East. But You know, no doubt about it. If you look at the map of the world, and if you pick up a newspaper and look wherever they are the majority, and Christians are minority, they are being eliminated, killed, destroyed, persecuted, kicked out. Name it. It's happening. So just not enough time.
You know, Jaleel, I sometimes think and that maybe the only thing that's going to wake us up is an economic collapse or terrorist attacks on a nationwide big scale. And I don't know that we as Christians are prepared if that happens. I look at how people in the Middle East are having their throats slit, are being beaten, imprisoned, raped, killed, refusing to deny Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. I'm not certain as a nation, Christians in this nation have the spiritual maturity to react that way if it happens here.
I would agree with that. And, you know, I would say these people were simple people in their faith, but they knew the difference. And they knew how to stand their ground. And they didn't give in. And, you know, we need to go back to the spirit of pioneering that was in America. That America was founded on the Christian principles. Those people fought to stand their ground, and we need to be similar in that endeavor to them that worked and made sure that we in our generation celebrate this wonderful freedom. So those people, without any, I would say there's a lot of Bible studies going on every day. Maybe instead of this Bible study that the preacher is doing, he need to go out and visit somebody, a Muslim, you know, and tell them about the love of Christ. Instead of just doing Bible study, meeting after meeting, fellowship after fellowship, whatever have you. And it's all wonderful, but what is it the church is doing toward their neighbor who is lacking faith and lacking spiritual understanding of Christ? And the church is weakening internally, that has impacted society as a whole. So we are not there. We're losing our ground with the culture that we live in, and our culture going the wrong way, and in turn that will lead us also not recognizing an enemy, who's an enemy and who's not. And that is a big issue, and I pray for this nation. I love this nation, and I thank God for this nation, but this is the last stop.
Jaleel,
there's nothing else better than it, and there's nothing else that can take its place.
Final question for you, brother. How can people connect with you, support you, and how can we pray for you?
Okay, I would say pray for the believers in the Middle East, and I would say pray for this nation, and I would say take actions. You can give through our organization, and we have plans to help specific people and follow up with them till they reach safety. And you can do that. And if you go to our website, World Refugees Care, you can give. And, you know, the more people give, the more we can reach out. There's a lot of people who are, you know, giving, and it's wonderful. But as I said, it's really, if you go and ask these organizations, who are these people, who are you giving? They're almost like the United Nations. They're giving and not knowing, you know, who, what happened to those people and who are they, and what, you know, we're trying to be specific. We're trying to be intentional of sharing the gospel and giving God's love through helping those people till they reach safety.
Excellent.
Well, Jaleel, thank you so much. I hope we can have you check back in with us in a few weeks, and know that you'll be in our prayers, and we will post links to your website on this podcast, and may the Lord be with you and continue to bless you, my friend. Thank you.
Same. Thanks, David, Mike. God bless you, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. And we love America, and thankful to the Lord for it.
Anytime, brother.
Thanks,
thank you
Jaleel.
So much, Pastor Jaleel Dunwood. When we come back, we're going to discuss some of the things we heard, and I've got a perspective I just feel led to share.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupwiththetruth.com. You can also call your questions in on the Q lines, 494-9010 in Green Bay, or 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment on Q90 FM. If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
Oh, a very, very moving interview with Pastor Jaleel DeWood. And I just want to share a few thoughts. And I please understand, I'm looking at something in the studio right now that's got my reflection in it. It's kind of an opaque little mirror here. And I want to speak to myself a little bit. And I want you to think, and ask God if he's saying the same thing to you. You know, I'm looking at this reflection in the mirror, and I'm saying this to myself. I'm kind of sick of all my hand-wringing and belly aching and worrying about my retirement account, worrying about this, worrying about that, worrying about what people think of me. I can be so self-centered. I'm focused more on Mike LeMay and too often feeding his flesh than I am thinking of what God wants of my life and feeding the spirit of him that's in me. I'm tired of reading, "If you love me, you will obey all my commandments," and continuing to not obey all his commandments. I continually violate what Jesus told the Pharisees, that all the law and the prophets and the gospel are summarized in this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and love others as yourself. I get obsessed with who's going to be our next president, or what's going to happen tomorrow, or what about this, instead of obsessing on what God wants me to do in my life. And you know, is that message for you? That's between you and God. But I can tell you that maybe it's because I'm getting older and hopefully maybe a little wiser as I gray and go bald. I'm learning to think less about me and more about God. And he's really been putting that on my heart lately. And I hear these stories, Dave, of people being murdered and raped and imprisoned in the Middle East. And I worry more about what I'm going to have for dinner tonight than what's happening to them. Stories of people who are strapping bombs to themselves and killing people, thinking they are doing God's will, when in reality they are doing the will of Satan. And maybe, just maybe, some of these terrorists that have attacked and the many that will attack, maybe if they had heard the gospel and the truth of who Jesus Christ was, maybe they would have put those bombs down and instead got on their knees and confessed or repent before God. You know, we are spoiled little children in this nation as Christians, and I include myself right at the top of that list. Oh, God is good all the time. He's blessed me. He's given me a great job. I have a wonderful car. I have this and I have that. And we hardly ever think of other people, even in our own church, that might be hurting or suffering right now. And when we don't even think of people in our own church, how in the world can we think of people over in the Middle East we've never met, Dave? So a little catharsis for me. And again, I'm not lecturing any of you. I am lecturing myself. But I would ask you today to take a few minutes and join me in getting on our knees and saying, God, I don't want to do things my way anymore. I don't want to serve my flesh anymore. I don't care, God. I don't care what happens to me. I know you have numbered my days. And if I have 3 days left, 3 years left, or 3 decades left, I want to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I want to love my Christian brothers and sisters as you love me. And Lord, I want to love those who hate you. I want to love the atheist. I want to love the Muslim. I want to love all men, share the truth with them, and put their needs above my needs. And again, not a lecture to you, our audience. We appreciate you. Lecture to myself. And I just ask you to maybe ask God if those words are for you, or maybe they're just for me. I don't know.
I think they're for me too. I think they're for a lot of people that are listening. And we quote Romans 12:2 a lot, or I do in my life on this show. Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds." And we live in the United States of entertainment, and we are products of our culture. I'm admitting that in my own life. You know, I grew up watching TV. It's a habit now, not as nearly as much as it used to be, because I've tried to wean myself off quite a bit. But primetime television, movies, games, electronics, sporting events, and we make things, Mike, our idols.
Yeah.
We do. I have. Three, 4, 5 years ago, the Green Bay Packers were an idol in my life. No longer. But they were. What is that? It's a professional football team, which is, in terms of eternity, it's meaningless and irrelevant in terms of eternity. We just had a pastor on who knows what true persecution is, and talking about our brothers and sisters. These are our family in Christ. Some of them being killed, others being chased out of their villages. And I'm not blaming anyone necessarily, but I just want to stress the fact of what you're saying. This has got to be an issue that touches our heart, and we must discipline ourselves unto godliness. We must manage our time better and make use of the time we have here for God's purposes, seeking first His kingdom, because these are our family members, spiritual family members in Christ, being killed. And we know the media is not reporting on it. Maybe, 3% of what is actually happening over there as far as the truth of Christian persecution. But we can't blame the media for it not impacting our hearts.
Yeah.
Because our hearts, mine, had become hardened. I had to keep on praying, Lord, please soften my heart. And I've been doing this over the last 3-4 years. Give me a heart of compassion. And, I don't want to be this saying, break my heart with the things that break yours. It's a wonderful principle, but it can be just words.
Yeah.
We're in worship on a Sunday morning thinking about lunch and the game or whatever. Lord, break my heart with what breaks yours. And we're looking around going, yeah, I just got to, make sure what I have to do the rest of the day.
Mm.
Are we truly invested heart, soul, mind, and strength in worship? Like you just, I think you just read, Deuteronomy 6, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. What does that mean? And with all your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and with all your might, your strength. That means all of you. But let's just stop there. We don't even talk about it and preach the word like it goes on to say, teach your children when they get up, when they walk about the way, when they sit down. That means you talk about the word, talk about God's principles all day long. You instruct your children and talk about and teach them. But let's just, before that, before it gets to what we do with God's word, we're supposed to love Him. I just thanked Him this morning for the quiet time I had. I just had a couple moments. I almost got teary-eyed, and it very rarely happens to me during my quiet time. And I thought, Lord, thank You that You are a personal God that cares about the little things in our lives. Thank You that You allow us to come. You speak to us, and please help me hear from You more consistently by Your Holy Spirit. But thank You for listening to my prayers. Who am I?
Dave, I don't know what time your quiet time was with God this morning, but I had my quiet time with God when I got in here this morning, and He did the same thing to me. I was literally crying like a baby. And, the Lord, I thought of a song we played here on Q90 about 3 years ago. I don't remember the artist. I'm horrible at this stuff. I said, give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Give me your eyes.
And I just said, Lord, give me your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your eyes to see people as You see them, not as I see them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to our phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Stand Up for the Truth.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
How are you?
Good.
Doing well.
Good. Wanted to just offer this as a thought. We had in church on Sunday a word of knowledge come forward, and it was that Christians, and what made me think of this was your commentary, Mike, about wringing your hands. Christians today are looking at the circumstances around them, and they're saying everything is falling apart. But the Lord is saying, no, everything is falling into place.
Amen.
And if we understood that there are only two kingdoms, there's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, we would fully embrace the idea that we are under the tutelage and under the sovereignty of a king who is coming back soon. And if we really wanted to be a part of this kingdom, we would fight for the kingdom. We would fight and do the king's business. And by fighting, I'm not just talking about picking up the sword. I'm talking about fighting in a way that allows people to recognize that we are in warfare. We are in a warfare that we cannot see, but we know that it exists. And the warfare is over only one thing. It's over the hearts and lives of men. And our Father's heart, our King's heart, is that none should perish. That should be our heart, that none should perish. And yet we in the church ourselves are perishing.
Hmm.
We have nothing to offer the world if we ourselves are not being fed by the king, we are not being disciplined by the king, we are not being trained up to do warfare by the king. How dare we call ourselves Christian if we are not really willing to follow Christ? And as far as I can determine from the Gospels, Christ went to the cross. The cross was a place of the flesh being crucified, but we ourselves are so in tune with our flesh that we have lost our ability to keep an eternal perspective and to recognize that everything is spiritual in nature, ultimately, and that our Father is longing for people to come to Christ because the time is so short. Things are falling apart if you have natural eyes, but if you have spiritual eyes, things are falling into place. And I want to encourage my brothers and sisters, the time is short. Be about the Father's business.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. That is a word of wisdom we all have to take to heart. Thank you so much, Kath. So much there. And I was talking to someone last week, wringing his hands about, well, what if I get attacked by a Muslim terrorist? I said, do you think God knows which day you're already going to die?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, why? Then why worry?
Yeah.
You know what? I can sit home and wring my hands and say, oh, I'm not going to a shopping mall because somebody might blow up a bomb. If it's your day, it's your day. You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to get hit by a bus. You're going to have a stroke, whatever it is. And Kathy's words just remind me, stop obsessing on ourselves. Look at these things as God looks at them. We say, oh, everything's falling apart. God says everything's falling into place.
You know, we keep quoting Jan Markell.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exactly what she said, because I appreciate her ministry, because they do share a lot of the headlines, a lot of the prophecy, a lot of things that are being fulfilled, what's happening not only in America, of course, but worldwide. But she also says, you know, a lot of people can look at the news headlines, or without even talking about the details of the stories, and just be overwhelmed by how it's negative, so much news, the bad news. But from a worldview of our Christian faith and Scripture, it should be encouraging for us, because yes, signs are taking place, prophecies are being fulfilled, and the last prophecies closer to being fulfilled when Christ returns. But these things are happening, many of them predicted already in Scripture. So we should go, wow, it's getting closer to the end times. We don't know if it'll all happen and everything will all come to pass in our lifetime, but we can always trust that the Word of God is true, and eventually it's going to take place. And things are, it's like a big, massive puzzle that God had, created years and years and years ago. Now a piece comes in there, piece comes in there. And that also has to do with what we talk about sometimes is the political, game in America, where who's elected and the policies and the judges, the justices, the Supreme Court justices. And that's also, these are all little pieces of the puzzle, because they affect laws, they affect everyday Americans in many, many ways. So we see these things coming together as pieces of a puzzle. So yeah, they are falling into place.
We do. And again, we talked last week about, we understand why some Christians have thrown up their hands and not vote. We disagree with their perspective, but we understand it. But in reality, do you really think it's going to change anything in the long run if Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton are our next president?
Not in the long run.
God's plans will not be thwarted by man. Now, we make decisions. We do the best we can to take dominion over this world. And I'm talking about correct biblical dominion, as the Lord gave Adam and Eve. We are to be the light and salt to the world. And so we're not to sit in our churches and huddle and pat each other in the back and tell each other how holy we are. And Dave, to me, I have to confess that sometimes my faith is a matter of convenience. If it doesn't get in the way of what I want to do, I can do the Christian thing. So I do the Christian thing, but at my essence, I still have too much of my sinful nature in me that wants to serve myself.
There's a lot in what you just said. How did you put that again? Your faith in convenience?
Yeah, my faith is a matter of convenience. As long as it doesn't get in the way with my flesh, hey, I'm willing to follow God.
Yeah. In other words, I apply that as, if I go through Culver's drive-thru and a conversation happens to come up about what a blessing this day is, then maybe I can say, well, God bless you. You know, yeah, it's just little things like that where, when we're out and about, when we're not looking for opportunities to serve God. And you know what? We were at a meeting last night, and Roseanne and I, we really want to be stretched, and I think we will be here because I think that's what God wants for mm-hmm. us. He wants to get all of us out of our comfort zones, because that means we have to trust him. That's faith,
yeah.
Trusting him. So we're hoping that at our age, not that we're old, but we can make those changes, because years of habit built up in doing things that please yourself, that feed your flesh, like you were just talking about, to open your eyes and say, God, interrupt me today with your will.
Yes, I love that, Dave. And God, we give you permission to pester us mm-hmm. by your Holy Spirit to convict us and not let us fall back to the ways of our flesh, because it's so easy to do. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show and tell you about our show tomorrow.
Have a question for Mike? Email him anytime at comments@standupforthetruth.com. We'll wrap up Stand Up for the Truth in a moment on Q90 FM. We're getting ready to wrap up this edition of the show, but the discussion is just beginning. More info on today's topics and much more can be found on standupwiththetruth.com. Now, here's Mike LeMay with some final thoughts.
Well, David and I are going to take a break tomorrow. We got a lot of other stuff we want to do. We're going to have a best of a Stand Up With The Truth classic tomorrow, our December 8th broadcast with Jan Markell.
Yeah, speaking of Jan.
So you'll get a chance to listen, but no phone calls tomorrow, because the phone's going to ring and ring and no one's going to answer it. So very interesting, David, our conversation with Jaleel Dawood today. And again, just... Here's a man in the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
A man in the front lines going out on a regular basis to the Middle East to share the gospel and help God's children while we sit here in Northeast Wisconsin just having a good old time.
And I don't know that we mentioned the Christian refugees and non-Christian refugees and how the Christian refugees are being treated. I think most of us that are paying attention know that they are often in danger. And so they are brothers and sisters. So let's keep them in prayer.
Amen. And just keep whistling by the graveyard, folks. Everything's fine in America. We're 19 trillion in debt. Islam has got a strong foothold, and we're selfish, self-centered people, even as Christians. So, hey, everything's taken care of. Don't worry about it. Seriously, folks, never lose hope. The one who is on his throne, no plan of Satan or man will thwart his plan. For David Fiorazzo, I'm Mike LeMay, standing up for the truth. Be bold, strong, and unashamed of the gospel. The Lord your God is always with you.